How are you? Right, we're on the beach, right? How could it get much better than that, right? Hey, turn to the person on either side of you and just look at them. Say, you look so good, I think you have lost weight. Go ahead. Why is that so funny? It's just more than an honor to be here this morning. This is the first time. I'm a beach guy. I mean, I love the when my wife and I go away, we want to go to the beach. I don't care if it's, you know, it can be August in Florida. It can be 100 degrees. We love the beach. How many beach lovers do we have here today? Come on. Are you out here? We love the beach, and I'm just so happy to be here. She did not come with me. She stayed home. As Neil said, I pastor a church in a small community called Batavia, New York, in between Rochester and Buffalo, and my oldest son is sharing the word of God. In fact, he's already done with the first service. He'll be moving on to the second one. I brought my youngest son with me. I don't know where he is. Garrett, he's all the way in the back there. Garrett, wave at everybody. Garrett, he's the man, and he's also single. So if any of you good-looking ladies are interested, he hates it when I do that, but I like to keep him humble. How many of you know we need some help in that? I thank God for Neil Boron. I love him as well as he shared, WDCX, the whole team. Appreciate Kingdom Bound. I told Matt Gould I would have come if I'd known he was the only one going to be here, and the Hine family and everybody that worked so hard to make this happen. How many of you know this just doesn't happen? It takes some energy. It takes some deliberate work, excuse me, to make something like this happen. So I'm thrilled to be here. Could we pray before I start this morning? If you just close your eyes and bow your head just for a moment. Father, I thank you today for your kindness, for your love, for your plan that you have for each one here. And I pray, God, that in just the next few minutes, nothing that a human being could ever say could change a person's life. But I pray, God, that by and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that just for the next few moments, you will take a mortal's words and change them into divinity as they enter into the hearts and the minds of the people that are here. I give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about something that really came to my heart some time ago. And it's just purely on the word thankfulness. Thankfulness is such a powerful word. In fact, I heard a story about a family that at Christmas time, you know, many people give people gift cards and things. And when their kids get a gift card, they cannot use that gift card until they send the person that gave it to them a thank you and telling them how much they appreciated their gift to them. Thankfulness. It's so powerful. I had planned back in December, I have five of the most beautiful grandchildren on the face of the earth. And if we had a big screen here in PowerPoint, anytime I ever travel, I always put a big picture up of them. They are the loves of my life. My oldest grandson is 12, my youngest grandson is 4, and I just love them. And I know you're confused right now. Well, you look up here and you say, how could he have five? He looks so young, right? Come on. Help a brother out up here. Come on, give me some love. So we take the kids. I love to take them. They stay overnight. We get up the next day, and I take them for lunch, take them to a movie, and then I take them to Dunkin' Donuts, and I do everything that I don't do myself anymore with them, and it's just amazing, and I give them everything they want, get them packed with sugar, and then call their parents and have them come and get them. How many of you know that's a great-grandfather right there? But last December, I work out in the gym every day, and I was going along, and I was coming to this point that I was short of breath, and it kept on getting worse and worse, and I'm wondering, what is going on? And it was the week before Christmas, and I'm thinking, boy, am I getting something with my heart? I don't know what's happening. And come Sunday afternoon, I got done speaking at the church, and I got really tired, and I told my wife, honey, I got to tell you something. She's like, what are you going to tell me? And I told her I had been short of breath. She says, honey, I want you to go to the doctor the next morning. I go into the doctor, and he tells me them dreadful words. I want you to go over to the hospital. Let them check you out. I don't mind visiting people in the hospital. I thank God for the hospital and doctors. I hate staying there, though. I mean, and if you're ever a nurse for me while I'm in the hospital, I apologize right now. I'm just not nice. I get in the hospital. They check me in. They do test on me. The lady comes back. She says, well, I've got some concerning news. I'm like, okay. She says, you have a pulmonary embolism. You have blood clots all over your lungs. I said, doc, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, where am I? She goes, let me put it this way. I'm usually looking at these on an autopsy. I said, that's probably not good then, is it? So for the next 3 days, I'm in the hospital. I'm on an ambulance. I'm going to Rochester. I'm staying there, and they're giving me IVs and things. I get home on Christmas Day, and all my grandkids come over, and it was the best Christmas that I ever had in my entire life. And I was so thankful that I said we had planned the next week that I was going to take them on that trip to the city, lunch, and take them to the movie. And then, but I wanted to add one extra thing. I said, guys, kids, come here. I'm going to get a whole bunch of Christmas cookies, and I want you to go into the hospital with me to the floor that took care of me, and I want you to come up with me, and when I tell you to, I want you to look at the nurses and the doctors and say in unison, thank you for taking care of my Boppy. That's what they call me, Boppy. So I got 14, 15 dozen cookies boxed up, beautiful. We're walking up to the hospital. I got five, my grand. It looked like a small army coming in to take over the hospital. We get up to the floor, and all of a sudden, I see the nurses and the aides and even some of the doctors are coming out. They're saying, what's going on? And I said, these are for you. And I turned around, and I said, okay, kids. And in unison, perfectly, you thought it was the Brooklyn Tabernacle there for a minute. They looked up, and they said, thank you for taking care of my Boppy. I'm telling you, there were tears. People were wiping they're hugging one another right there in the hospital. They said, nobody has ever done that for us before. It felt so good to do that. And I inserted something in those children's heart that day that they had never forgotten, that thankfulness is what turns, and it's the key of life. And I want to encourage you all here today, and I'm only going to be a few minutes here, so I really want you to listen to me. Thankfulness gets the attention of God. Do you know that there's only one place in the entire Bible, there's many places where people praise God and gave and just worshiped him, but there's one place in particular that I'm familiar with where somebody gives God thanks. And the scripture says, in Luke chapter 17, it says, it had happened when he went to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he saw 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. When he saw them, the Bible says, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And when they did it, they were cleansed. And here's the sticky point. Here's the awesome part. You'd think that all of them would come back. You'd think they'd send him a card, bring him cookies. The Bible says that one of them saw that he was healed, and he returned with a loud voice, fell down on his feet, and he gave God thanks. That's powerful to me. But that story doesn't end there, because it goes on to say, and remember, the Bible says that he was a Samaritan. He was the most likely not to do anything. Looked down upon, frowned upon as a person in society. Let me tell you something here today, that no matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is, God loves you and he cares for you today. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. But one man came around and turned around and fell on his feet, and he said, thank you. And the scripture says, and he was a Samaritan. Listen to this, that whenever you feel entitled, you will never be thankful. Whenever you feel like you deserve something, you will never have a heart of thankfulness. And what happened after that is really powerful, because the scripture says, Jesus said, wasn't there 10? He says, where are the other 9? And then he goes on, he says, were there not any who returned to give glory to God except the foreigner? And there's just something about that that I like, because if you looked at my life, where I came from a broken home. My dad was a raging alcoholic. I lost a sister. She was 11 years old to cancer when I was a baby. A brother who was in Vietnam serving and was killed on his way home when I was 11. My father went into the mental institution and died 2 years later. And my mother died when I was 17 years old, and I was homeless. And you want to talk about a foreigner? You want to talk about somebody that nobody thought would ever be anywhere or amount to everything? I was homeless. But something changed my life. And I believe that it got the attention of God. And the scripture here says that when that man gave thanks, the Bible says, he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And that word well there, it's a Greek word that means your faith has saved you. In other words, Jesus was saying, okay, they got cleansed. They got what they needed right there. But this man, because he said thanks, got something that he took with him right into eternity. My friends, this morning, thankfulness, amen, come on. Thankfulness will bless your life. It will open doors for you. It gets the attention of God. We should be thankful today. When I saw it raining, I just walked up to the window and I said, God, I thank you for what you're doing right now. I didn't begin to complain because I knew that God had a greater answer. And isn't it the weather even more beautiful after a storm comes and the rain settles than it is even before that happens? Listen, we learn to appreciate what we hope for. And do you know that there's two places in the scripture where Jesus, he really prays, and this truth really comes alive. And the first one is in Matthew 15. Many of you, I'm sure you've heard the story before. Here, Jesus had got done speaking, and there were 7,000 people, or excuse me, there were 4,000, the Bible says, women plus men and children that he said, I want to feed them. And the Bible says that he only had 7 loaves and a few fishes. Have you ever been there? When what you needed to accomplish the task at hand was so minimal that you didn't know what was going to happen. I think if that was me, if I had to feed that 4,000, I think I would have begin to say, God, we're in trouble. Lord, do you even see what's going on around me? Do you even know the need that we're in? What are we going to do? God, you better do something, and you better do it right now. Or a prayer sometimes will be, God, I need this job right now. I need this boyfriend, this girlfriend. I need a husband, a wife. I need this house. I need this money right now. God, if you don't give this to me right now, I'm going to backslide and I'm going to make you look bad. But the Bible says that that's not what Jesus did. The scripture says that Jesus took the 7 loaves and he took the fish. And if you have your Bible in Matthew 15 and verse 36, the Bible says he gave thanks. Everybody say that. Say, give thanks. He gave thanks. And what happened? The scripture goes on to say that he not only fed the 4,000 plus women and children, the Bible says that they picked up leftovers and had enough to carry bags with them. My brothers and my sisters today, do you know what happens when you have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness? That God will not only meet the need that you have at the moment, but you'll have enough leftovers to take with you for the journey and enough, the Bible says, to help other people around you. Oh, I'm going to get happy up in here all by my own. But when you're in charge, when you say, God, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way, how many of you know you limit what God really wants to do? And instead of threatening God and telling him what he needs to do, how about if we just learn to pause a minute and begin to thank him for what he is already engaged in our lives doing? Somebody, you need to hear this today. Somebody is, you're at a precipice of something. You need an answer. And your answer today is not to demand what you need. Because in reality, we don't know what we need to get us to where we need to go. And the second miracle is so incredible. You know the story in John chapter 11. The Bible says there was a man by the name of Lazarus. We heard about Lazarus, but maybe many of you don't know the story up to it. The Bible says that Lazarus, his sisters, Martha and Mary, Mary, who washed the feet of Jesus and anointed his feet with perfume and washed his feet with her hair. The Bible says Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And the Bible says in John chapter 11 that he got sick. And they called for Jesus to come. And what did Jesus do? He dropped everything and ran to them immediately. No, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says that he waited 2 days before he even would move. And then before he went, the Bible says that your friend Lazarus is dead. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm glad he's dead. That would break humanity's heart here today. But that's not the end of the story. Because Jesus said, I'm glad he's dead, because God is going to show his power. Some of you have come today. You have some dead things in your life. I was praying over this early this morning. I got up, and I love it when God wakes me up and he just has this interaction to that today I would be speaking to some people that maybe in your family, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your relationships, something has died and you think there's no hope for it. But I want you to know Jesus is the man who calls dead things and brings life into them. And the scripture goes on to say that when he had gotten there and he'd met Mary and Martha, they said, where were you, Jesus? If you had been here, our brother would not have died. And he says, your brother is just asleep. She says, I know he's asleep. I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus looked at that sister and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me and dies shall live again. And whoever lives shall never die. And you know what he said after that? And I want to ask every one of you this morning. This is the pinnacle moment. He said, do you believe this? He said, do you believe this? The Bible says, take me to where Lazarus is. Take me to where he is. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, I would show you the glory of God? And then the scripture says that as he came up to the tomb, Jesus, he drops his head in John chapter 11 and verse 41. And you know what he says? He doesn't say, God, you better do this now. I fishes and loaves are one thing, but a dead person who's been in there 4 days and as the great King James says, he stinketh now. Man, I've met some people that stinketh, but God makes them smell good again. And the scripture says that he drops his head, and this is what he says. He said, Father, I thank you. He doesn't demand. And he cries out, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And you know the scripture? The Bible says that Lazarus came forth. He told those around him, go ahead, loose him and let him go. Who am I talking to this morning? God not only, when we're thankful, not only gives us more than we need at the end, but he brings things that are dead to life again. Oh, come on, put your hands together for Jesus this morning. The scripture says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And I love what the Message translation says about this. The Message says it like this. It says in that same verse, Psalm 100, verse 4, read it later. He says, enter with the password, thank you. Wow. Go ahead, Corey, just start playing behind me. Make yourselves at home. Take talking praise, thank him, and worship him. I want you just to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your head all over this beautiful sand sanctuary this morning. Matthew Henry, one of the greatest Bible commentators that ever lived, he was robbed one time of his wallet, and he wrote this in his diary the night that it happened. And this is what he said. He said, Lord, I want to thank you for what took place. He said, first, I want to thank you that I've never been robbed before. Second, that even though he took my wallet, you didn't take my life. Third, because even though they took my wallet, there wasn't much in it. And fourth, he says, finally, because he was the one that robbed and wasn't the one who did the robbing. Can you do that today? Can we thank God for wherever it is and whatever we're facing? We don't thank him for the calamity that we're in. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, not for everything, in everything, he says, give thanks. I wonder if just for a moment as we close in prayer here today, maybe you're in a tough time. I know when I prayed this morning that God had just focused on, there are some families here, there's some husbands and wives. Maybe you're here this morning and your partner isn't with you because you got in an argument or something. Maybe there's a child in your home that's away. Maybe they're involved in things that are not good. Maybe something in your workplace is falling apart. Can I just submit to you today that God is working? If we trust him and if we thank him, he's working a plan out in your life that is so much greater than anything you could ever ask or think. I shared this similar message in our church one day several months back. And the next day, my wife had a doctor's appointment. She had a mammogram, and they called her back in, and they brought her in. They said, Mrs. McDonald, you have in your mammogram, you have a spot. We need to take a biopsy. They took the biopsy. It came back cancerous. And I just felt, can I thank God in the midst of this? And the first thing we did, we grabbed each other's hands. We just began to give God thanks because he is greater than any disease or sickness that might come upon us. And we believe God for great things. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today. If you're struggling in an area of your life, we just want to pray for you. In fact, I'm going to close in just a moment. I'm going to ask Carrie to come up and Zach. Garrett, I even want you to come up here. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, that's where you need to start today. It'd be a shame if you left here today not knowing the God that can meet all of your needs. It would be a shame here today that if you're going through a treacherous time in your life, that you left and you didn't meet the Prince of Peace. And secondly, if you're here today and you are that person, you're going through that tragedy, your trouble, and you just need somebody to stand with you and pray, we want to do that with you today. I'm going to close in prayer. Just open up your heart right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I give you all thanks and all praise because you are good. We thank you, God, that no matter what it is that we're facing, that even in the midst of it, even in the midnight hour, God, we'll sing praises to you and watch the chains that have us held down, loosed, and help us to see the victory and the purpose that you have for our lives. We give you all the thanks and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen. Come on, give the Lord another big hand clap today.